to God.
Your heads, let's pray. Give thanks to the Lord. We make your known, make your deeds known today, O Lord. We glory in your holy name. We seek you because in you and only through you can we understand and know truth. We want to cling to the wonderful truths that you want to reveal to us today. So Lord, allow us to be governed by what is true. And Lord, I pray that this series and this sermon would not just be a message we hear from a man, but it's a series and a messages that we hear from you. And we connect to you in a much deeper way. Deeper to the way where it just doesn't fill us with knowledge, but it leads us to what you are calling us to do next. I pray that all the information translates to application. Everything we receive is something we know you're calling us to do. And it's out of joy we want to do it. Not out of compulsion, not because somebody's twisting our arms, but because you, Lord, are speaking to us and we delight in what you have to say and we delight in following you. This year, Lord, I pray that we can be better followers of Jesus. I pray that we can increase in our capacity to know Jesus in a deeper way, to connect to him, to know him in a way that brings life to our soul, life to our relationships, life to our families, life to every area of our lives, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. We love you, O Lord, and we thank you. In Christ's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How are you guys this morning? Feeling good? Feeling good? Happy New Year 2025. The Browns are going to the Super Bowl. It is just, it's just been amazing. Hey, how about those Buckeyes, though? I'll take that all day long. It was duck season. Now we got to take down some cows. So, but good morning, Christ Church. Glad to have each and every one of you guys who are watching. Hey, I just want to take the time and I just want to say thank you guys for committing, for serving, for being here. This past Christmas season, we had a great, great Christmas attendance. We more than doubled than what we were last year through our Christmas weekend services when it comes to attendance. We reached over 500 people for Christmas Eve weekend. Yeah, that deserves a glory to God and amen. Over 500 people, both in person and online. Man, God's doing some great work, right? And we get to be witnesses of that. We get to be a part of the good work that God is doing. So not that we may just make much of ourselves, but so we can continuously make much of God, right? That's why he does and brings this good work. So I just want to say thank you and that we love you and we honor you. We can't wait for what 2025 will look like. Speaking of 2025, we are in a brand new sermon series today titled The Playbook. The Playbook. It is a sports reference. Anybody have sports fans in here? Anybody love watching the Browns get beat every week? And the Cavs are doing really well. I'll take that as well, too. But this idea of the playbook, you know, in order to score, to win, to have victory, right, you got to follow the book. Right? You gotta do what the play call tells you to do. In football, there's a play call that comes into the quarterback, and then the quarterback goes into the huddle, and it, you know, it's like Patrick Mahomes, he says, just get out the way, I'll make something happen. That's pretty much what he does. But anyway, he just comes in, right, and he tells you to play, and the goal is to follow the play. Why? To be successful. Right? And here's the thing. We want to talk about this idea that God is the author of the playbook for us this year. Right? And here's his heart for you. His heart for you is to win. Right? Right? God wants you to succeed. God wants you to score. He's not sitting in heaven saying, let's make life worse for them. You know, that's not the God that we serve. He's a God. He's the CEO. He's the player personnel. Right, he's the owner. He's the one that wants you to win. And this is what this series is meant to do. It's meant to give us ownership of what it looks like to win this year in a way that really we need to. My wife and I, some of you may or may not know, my wife and I are stuck in this dilemma within our home. And here's the great dilemma. The great dilemma is whether or not we should have a third kid. See, some of you are shaking your head or saying, like, don't do it, don't do it, don't be stupid. I know, it's a dilemma, right? We're going back and forth. The other of you, you're like three or four kids. You're probably like, it's fine, right? It's no big deal. But it's like back and forth, right? We're at a crossroads, right? We'll see like a beautiful family, and we'll say, oh, well, we want that, and we want to be happy. We want more children. And then I see those kids climbing on one another, punching one another. I'm like, nah, I'm good. No, I'm okay, right? There's the great dilemma, the great crossroads, whether or not we should do it or not. But I think about this idea of a dilemma or the crossroads that I feel like all of us were at or are currently at when it comes to this year. And here's our great dilemma for this year. Either we're going to stay the same or change, right? There's this great dilemma entering into 2025, right? There's this crossroads. Am I going to keep doing what I've been doing? And knowing that what I've been doing hasn't been working, right? And I've seen the results in that time and time again. Or am I going to change, right? Am I just going to choose the easy way? Or am I going to choose the right way, right? And so that's what this series is meant for each and every one of us. That's my son, by the way. Yeah, we're only having two. So we're done. Yeah, that's it. That was the Lord. That was the Holy Spirit. He was speaking today. Yeah, he said, son, you're done. Thank you, Lord. So, but anyway, let me keep going. Right? Right? The dilemma of this year, friends, is there are things we need to do that are just different, and we know it. Right? But how to do those things? Well, guess what? The Lord wants to assist you into doing that, right? The Lord wants to assist you on pursuing the right things so that you can create the right habits, right? Right? Because what you pursue typically develops your habits, right? And if you don't have the right pursuits, well, then you're going to have the wrong habits, right? That makes sense. We all understand that. And so that's what we want to do week by week, is talk about different ways of how to create necessary changes that are needed in our lives, right? And partnering with the Lord, looking to the Lord, depending on the Lord, calling on the Lord to do that with us more and more. Because here's the thing, friends. There's one thing that I want you to know, is that you cannot survive this year physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally without the Lord. I just want to say that. Now, that may be too bold for today's climate and culture, and I might get canceled for saying that. But at the end of the day, we can't get through this year, right? As a matter of fact, not just get through this year, we can't thrive in this year without the Lord. And so that's what we want to do in this series. That's why I'm super excited for these next couple weeks to talk about different ways of what it looks like in pursuit with God to create the changes in our lives that are needed. And we're going to be studying out of Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 to 14, as our friend Sierra read. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, to kind of kickstart what we want to talk about today. So let me go ahead and open up in verse 9 and then talk about a couple things we're going to be hitting on for today. Verse 9, it says this, for this reason. Now, this is the Apostle Paul, for those who do not know. This is the great Apostle Paul, who was writing to a church that he did not start, but because of the people that were under him, they started. So he's writing to this church. And let me just say, this church is booming, right? The church in Colossae, which would have been a church where it was met with a lot of problems, right? And Paul talks about some of those problems later on in the letter. But overall, it's a church that's thriving, right? It's a church, man, they were growing. Just read verses 1 through 8. I'm gonna spare you the time and not read those, but summarize it for you. He talks about how you know, their faith is being known all throughout the world, right? Not just in their little bubble, not just on those who follow them on social media, but all throughout the world. The church of Colossae, their faith in Christ is being known, not only for their faith in Christ, but their love for one another, right? That they have such a love for one another, and it's because of the hope that is reserved from them in heaven. At first glimpse, you're like, Paul, why are you writing a letter to this church? Because usually with apostles, or the apostle Paul in particular, you would write a letter when there's something that's concerning that you need to address, which there is. But at first glimpse, you're like, there's not really much to address here. This church is killing it. But look what Paul says for the rest of verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard, here's another way of how we heard, since the day we've heard of you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's stop here real quick. Let's stop here real quick. Paul says, yes, church at Colossae, you're doing an awesome job, right? Now, I'm not the Apostle Paul, nor do I ever claim to be, but I will say there are some of you that 2024 was a success for you, and that's great. 2024, you made a lot of progress. Give yourself some credit, right? You may have crossed the finish line limping, but you crossed the finish line, right? You made a lot of progress, but here's what Paul says. Paul says, yes, church, I'm glad you're doing well, but don't stop growing. That's what Paul says. Paul says, I'm glad you're killing it. I'm glad your faith is being known throughout all of the world. Your love for one another. I mean, people are talking about you guys left and right, right? There are articles about how great you are. But here's the one thing you cannot afford to do is to grow complacent. Right? Because here's the one thing that will kill your gains: complacency. Here's the one thing that will kill your growth: when you lower the standards of your life. How many of us can agree most of the reasons why our areas of life that we're dissatisfied with the most, whether it be our faith or our character or our prayer life, whatever it may be, has been due to the fact that we've lowered the standards. We've grown a little bit too complacent, right? We've gone a little bit too complacent in certain areas. And we're dissatisfied because we took our eyes off the prize, right? Or maybe some of you've been growing and growing and growing in your faith and walking with Christ and whatnot, and you just say, well, you know, let me just kind of take my foot off the pedal. Then next year, you know, your foot stays off the pedal a little bit longer than you were anticipating, and then you get the analogy, right? And Paul says this, friends, you cannot afford to stop growing, right? And I love what Charles Spurgeon says about this particular verse. Look what he says. Charles Spurgeon says, if you leave empty spots in your soul, you invite error and deceitfulness to dwell there. How profound is that? Keep that up for them one more time. Charles Spurgeon says, if you leave empty spots in your soul, right, what happens is you invite error and deceitfulness to dwell there. So the first thing that I want to say is, man, at the end of the day, friends, whether you hit all the goals from last year, right, or whether you're dissatisfied with not reaching those goals or whatever it may be, don't stop growing. Here's what we need to commit to. We need to commit that the Lord is going to do a good work in us this year. Here's what I want you to commit to allow the Lord to do a good work in you. That at the end of the day, you can't control much, and this year will prove that to you, but you will commit to walk with God and to allow him to transform your hearts into the people he's calling you to be, right? What if that was our commitment this year? So Paul says, for this reason, I pray that God may fill you with his will and knowledge for all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's talk about the next thing. The next thing is Paul says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pursue God's will. Pursue God's will. Now, I've been a professional Christian for a long time. And in professional Christianity, there's always this question, and usually it's with the young folks. Usually it's with the younger crowd. What is God's will for my life? That's what they ask. What is God's will? What does God want me to do, right? And normally what they do is they equate God's will for like a career, right? Or a person they should marry or a school they should go to, right? And all of that. And I get why they ask that. But fundamentally, the scriptures point to something greater than what we are assuming, right? God's will, or in this case, God's revealed will, has nothing to do with who you marry, right? What job you take, right? Where you live. It has nothing to do with that. God's will for you, friends, is that he would be the center of your trust. That's God's will. That he would be the center. What does God desire from you the most is that you would trust him the most. That he would be the one that you would say, above all, here is where my ultimate good lies. That above all, here is the one who holds all of the cares and concerns for my life, and not just holds it, but is able to, and competent to give what is needed so that I can thrive and survive through faith in Christ Jesus, right? That's God's will for you. And Paul says, I want you to be filled with God's will. Now, the word filled, if you actually holistically look at this particular word, filled, it's often was used for those who were putting cargo on a ship. Some of you don't know that in order for the ship to travel at a certain speed, in order for a ship to get to its destination and be able to be pulled by the waves and the wind in a particular way, it has to have certain amount of cargo in it, right? It only can get to this destination if it's filled with enough cargo. You get the imagery that's going on here that Paul is using? So what Paul is saying, kind of in the same way, there's a destination. There's a place God is leading you to, right? It's a spiritual place. Most likely, it's a place where you're growing and you're maturing in your faith, your character, and many other things. But in order to grow, you have to be filled with the right things, right? Now, another way to say this word filled is this idea of being governed, right? Right? What if this was the year where we were filled with more of God's will, more than we were filled with fear? Right? What if this was a year where we were filled more with what God desires over resentment, right? Right? Maybe this is a year where we can be filled more with what does God want me to do? Because I guarantee you this, you probably have sat back and say what you want to do this year, right? You probably have written down, am I right? What do you want to do? Have you ever taken a step back and said, God, what do you want me to do? Right? God, what do you want me to do? Right? What do you have for me to do? And I get it where we sit down and we know these areas that we need to improve in. We know these areas that we want to grow in. But Paul says this, do not be mistaken, friends. We need the will of God, what God desires, to be filled within the depths of our spirits, because to be governed by what God desires, it actually creates more joy and makes us more productive, right? To be filled with what God wants in my life, but what God, because I can't always trust Devon's desires. Can you trust yours all the time? I don't think so, right? 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 I can't always trust my desires. My desires most likely are all about me and elevating me and self-preservation and all about what I want and everything. And I'll see progress, just not the right progress. I'll see results, just not the results that help me to understand and to connect with God and Christ in a deeper, deeper way. Paul says, this is the year, friends, we need to be filled with what does God want me to do in my life? What does God want me to do in my marriage? That's what some of you need to be asking today. What does God want me to do about this particular situation and this particular person that is going, what does God want me to do? Not what does me want me to do, but what does the Lord desire? Right? And to be governed by that, to be swayed into the direction where God is leading us. So here's what Paul says. Paul says this, friends, don't stop growing. Commit to it. Commit to it every day. Commit to grow in the Lord. Jesus says that in John 15, as a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For you can do nothing without me. Your Lord and Savior said that. And guess what? It's true. Right, Mary Beth? Guess what is true? He says, you can do nothing without me. We commit to that. Now, what do we need to commit to? We need to be committed. Okay, you know what, Lord? I need to walk in what you desire for my life, right? I need to walk in your will. I need to walk in your will a little bit more. Not saying that we're going to be perfect, right? There's no such thing as perfection Christianity. We look to Christ for that. He was perfect for us, right? But we do understand the urgency and the call that God has put on our lives. Now, what is the purpose of being swayed and filled with God's will? Well, the purpose of it is so that you may walk in God's wisdom. Look what he says in verse 9. He says, for this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, asking that God may fill you with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Here's God's desire for you, friends. God's great desire is that you know his will so that you may walk in his wisdom. Anybody ever receive bad advice? Yeah. Anybody ever receive bad advice and then you look back and you said, why did I listen to that person? When I was in elementary school back in Strongsville, I remember I forgot to bring my lunch one day. And maybe it was middle school. I forgot to bring my lunch one day. And I'll never forget, I tell my friends, none of my friends wanted to share with me. I'm like, guys, I'm hungry. And they're like, oh, it's your fault. I don't care. You live in a cul-de-sac. I'm like, whatever, you know. And they didn't want to give me anything to eat. And so my friend's like, hey, maybe you should just go to the lunch, you know, the lunchroom and just take something. So, of course, you know, the Christian, little Christian Javon said, thou shalt not steal. No, that's not what I did. I did the very opposite. I thought it was a great idea. Sorry I'm sharing my brokenness and flaws with you, okay? If you don't like it, I'll help you find another church. But keep going. All right. Right, it was bad advice. And I remember getting caught, and I remember, you know, getting in trouble. Then I had to tell my mama. And then they said, why did you do it? Well, they told me to do it. Well, you know, you shouldn't have done that, right? 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 It's not having the right wisdom. Maybe a lot of our issue is mainly due to what wisdom we're listening to. Because you ever notice, go bring up verse 9 again for them, Jalen. Bring up verse 9 for them. Notice this. This is Bible study for you. This is how I study the Bible. Notice Paul says spiritual wisdom. He doesn't say wisdom or some kind of wisdom. He meant this to separate and to contrast it from God's wisdom and the world's wisdom. See, there's a lot of knowledge in the world, but there's not a lot of wisdom with it. We are living in a time where there's so much information, we just don't know what to do with it, right? I just learned about ChatGPT. Anybody ever been on ChatGPT? Oh, my gosh, I'm obsessed. My phone usage has gone up 75%, you know? I'm obsessed. It is crazy, right? A lot of information. AI is taking over the world. Right? All these Christians getting all a bit out of shape. Relax, okay? Jeez, Jesus is on the throne, not AI. But we have all this information, but we don't have a lot of wisdom, right? There's a lot to know, but we don't know what to necessarily do with it. And Paul says spiritual wisdom is what we need to seek out more and more. Now, what's the difference between worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom? Well, let me break it down in this way. The world's wisdom focuses on what feels good and looks good, while God's wisdom gives focus and direction to what ultimately is good and beneficial. Does that make sense? The world's wisdom is this. This is the world's wisdom. When someone wrongs you, go on social media and bash them. And don't even bring up their name, indirectly bash them. But God's wisdom says, pursue peace with all people. Right? Right? Wisdom is nothing, but I love how J.I. Packer says, wisdom is nothing but knowledge rightly used. It is the ability to see something from God's point of view, right? And act on it and have the competence for it, right? Most of the issues that I have in my life, and most of the reasons why I haven't grown, is because I haven't been very wise, right? I've been leaning on my own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You ready? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him, right? Right? Most of the reason why we aren't where we need to be is because we've been leaning on our own wisdom, right? We have the results that we have because of the things that we've established, right? And let me help you give two ways of how you can increase in wisdom. Because the Bible says this, let the wise hear and increase in learning, right? Scripture says, let the wise hear and increase in learning. Number one, here's one way of how we can grow in wisdom. Learned experiences. Some of us, we need to look back at 2024. A great way to start with growing in wisdom is by seeing what didn't work. Right? By sitting down and saying, okay, this didn't work. You know, the one thing I had to learn very early, my wife's here, she's going to crack up when I say this, or she's going to be mad. Either way, I'm going to get the brunt of it. So, you know, the one thing I had to learn really early as a young husband is that whenever she says, how does this make me look? I just need to just tell her what she wants to hear, okay? Right? Right? I had to learn that very, very early, right? You know what I'm talking about, right, Brian? You know what I'm getting at, right? At least there's a Christian man in the room today, right? You know, I had to also learn, it passed, credit cards does not mean free money. Right? I had to learn that the hard way, right? You ever had to learn things the hard way? You know what I'm saying? You get back, you be like, wait a minute, I owe money back? I thought y'all was giving me free money. No. Right? Just through learned experiences, right? In all seriousness, learned experience. Those moments, friends, the Lord uses those beautiful moments. He uses them to shine a light of what is needed for the future. He uses those moments. Yeah, they stink. Yeah, they're hard. Yeah, they bring up a lot of pain and grief. But at the end of the day, listen to this. At the end of the day, the Lord will straighten your paths when you establish wisdom from what didn't work. He will. He will give you direction. God is not a God that says, oh, that stinks for you. Maybe you should have listened to me. No, he's God's like, all right, you know, we're here. But now let's get back on the right path. Let's get back on the right path. Number two, this one I know all of you are very good at, listening to others. I did not mean that when I said that. I know all of you. Logan did a great job last week. Can we give it up for Logan's sermon from last week? He did a He did a wonderful job in the sermon. He did a wonderful job talking about committing to come into church and how that blesses our souls because of the people, right? I thought he did a great job when he talked about that. And, you know, that's a hard topic to talk about because it's very vulnerable, right? But here's the one thing I want to ask you. Did you listen? Right? Did you listen? Or did ego get in the way? This great book that I'm going to read next, I'm going to share some thoughts with next week, so I'm not going to go into detail, by Ryan Holiday. If you need a good book to read, by Ryan Holiday. The title of his book is Ego is the Enemy. Yeah, there is a spiritual enemy. His name is Satan, right? The unholy one, right? But then there's another enemy, and that's you. Right? Ego is the enemy. There's one thing that will haunt us if we're not careful is when people are ready to give us any advice that we would be have a posture, heart to say, I'm willing to listen, right? What do they call it? Chew the meat, swallow the meat, spit out the bones, whatever analogy that may be. Maybe that needs to be our posture for this year, right? Right? Let me ask you another question. And this is for everyone, men, women, young, old, whoever you may be, married, single, whatever. Do you have people in your life who have permission to challenge you? If you don't, that's not a good place to start. Do you have people in your life? And I don't mean your spouse, right? I mean, do you have solid men talking to the fellas? Do you have men in your life who can come up to you and tell you, you got a stain, bro, and we got to fix that? Ladies, do you have solid Christian women who can come in your life and who can tell you and who can be honest with you? Loving, because here's the thing. You know what we think is loving? When people tell us what we want to hear. But the greatest place of love comes from both, right? Matter of fact, the greatest place of love comes from when people tell you things that you don't like to hear. And you don't like them because they're very true. You just don't want to accept that. I have pastors and friends that, for instance, I have friends that, you know, that entertain me, right? I have friends that I'll be around and I'll love or joke or go work out or watch the game and all that. But then I got people in my life that I know I need to be under their leadership, right? And I know that if I have to spend a great deal of time of that for this next year, right? Right? There's one time I'll never forget. My buddy Dave, who's here, he's one of those great men in my life to challenge me. I went home and told my wife something. I was sat down with Dave. We got breakfast at Bob Evans. And she's like, I've been telling you that for 5 years. And now you want to listen? I'm like, don't judge me. I'm a work in progress. Just stop it, right? But there's something to it when other people outside of our family is challenging us, right? maybe that's what we need to do. I love Proverbs 13:20. I think it says, walk with the wise and become wise. But the companion of fools leads to destruction. Proverbs 13:20, I think it is. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise, become wise. But the companion of fools leads to destruction. Right? And then Paul says this. Let's wrap it up, friends. I love this passage. Let this be your year's passage right here. This is why we're kicking it off. Read this passage every day. God, I want to follow your will. Help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, give me your power. Give me your strength. Right? I'm prone to follow my will today. Let me follow your will. Right? Lord, I need your wisdom. Show me where I can find wisdom. Show me where I need to gain wisdom. Help me to apply this. And here's the icing on the cake. Paul says this. Verse 10. I'm going to read verse 10 all the way to 12, all the way to 14. He says this, so that, here's the purpose, you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. You may live your life. You may conduct your life in a way that is worthy to God, and you may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may find full endurance, patience, and joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Verse 13, for he has rescued us, or delivered us, some of your translations say, for he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Here's the purpose of being filled with God's will. Here's the purpose of finding God's wisdom. It is so that you may lead a life that is pleasing to God. Because our chief aim, here's the chief aim of the Christian life, is that someone who is in pursuit to please and honor God. You want that's a genuine Christian. A genuine Christian is not when they can quote every Bible verse. It's not when they can tell you all their attendance, how many times they went to church this year. But when they can say the position and the posture of my heart is to please God. Now, why does a Christian seek to please God? See, because here's the thing. We all seek to please something. Little do you realize. We all are seeking to please something or someone, right? Our jobs. You want a raise? You better please your boss, right? You better show up on time, right? You better do this. You better do that, right? You want to get that close parking spot? Well, you better have that perfect attendance. You know what I mean? You want to get a point of the month, right? All that stuff. We all are pleasing something or someone, right? Right? We're all seeking to please. Now, why does a Christian seek to please God? Not to get from God. The Christian seeks to please God because they have received everything from God. There's a difference, right? I want to please my wife. I want to honor my wife. Not so I can get something in return, but because I delight in doing it. And the same thing is transferred in our relationship. As a matter of fact, a greater way to demonstrate that is in our relationship with God. To please God. It is to honor God more and more. Why? Not because I have to. Watch this. The Christian doesn't seek to please God because they have to, but because they want to. I have a desire. I want to please God. I'm not perfect at it. I understand that. Neither will you be perfect at it either. Once again, thank you, Jesus, for the cross, right? The one who perfectly and faithfully walked with God above what I could ever do. But the desire of my heart is to make everything about God and to please him. Here are a couple things that I want you to write down before we leave. Here's a couple ways of how we can honor God this week. Are you ready? Or this year, not just this week. Honor God with how you deal with conflict. Because here's the one thing nobody has told you, and I'll be your pastor, your shepherd, I'll be it all for you. Here's the one thing nobody has told you about this 2025 season. You will experience conflict. I see it all over social media. People, new year, new me. And then I'll say, yeah, and new conflict. New year, new me, yeah, and new problems, right? New year, new me, all that stuff, right? Here's a great way to do it. Here's a great way that we can honor God this year, that when conflict comes, because here's the thing, friends, it's going to come. It's going to come. And I don't mean to say that to be like the pastor that's like, you know, sad and, you know, speaking down on you. But what if you decided beforehand, this is going to be my response? That when conflict comes in my marriage, I won't be the first one to try to justify my actions. But rather, I'll be willing to listen to my spouse. What if the way you dealt with conflict wasn't, hey, I'm going to come from a state of emotion and that's all I'm going to know. But rather, I'm going to be willing to come from a place of reason and listen to them as well. What if we did that? Number two, honor God with your words. We can be very, very hard when it comes to our words, with what we say, right? Right? I can almost guarantee you this. We all have people in this room. We all have people in our lives that we're one way in front of them, but we're a whole different way behind their backs. I know you don't like that. I'm sorry. Right? And we'll never say in front of them what we say behind their backs. We'll never do that, right? And we let it go. But you know, the Bible talks about gossip. You know, the Bible talks about gossip more than it talks about, like, sexuality. The big issues Christians like to make a big deal about. Like, it's up there with money. Bible talks about money, greed. It talks about greed and gossip a lot, like a whole lot. And we're okay with both of them, right? Speaking of greed, what if number three? What if we honor God with our finances? Honor God with our finances, right? What if we plan this year to be people who are really good at giving? And I'm not saying give to the church. I'm not here to say, hey man, give us more money. I'm not here to say any of that. But I'm here to say, man, what if your heart posture was, God, I want to be a steward in this way and in the best way. Number four, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. I'm a big proponent in pushing Christians to really see health, their physical health, just as important as their spiritual health. You're welcome. I'm a big proponent in that. It's a big deal. The reason why, friends, the reason why is because Christians, we love to make a big deal about certain things, but we dismiss even more, just as important things, right? And maybe this year, you need to do a better job at realizing your body is a temple. Your body is a temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, right? You know what they would do in the temple in Jerusalem? They would never. Why do you think Jesus, when he went into the temple and they were selling pigeons and they were doing all this stuff, he drove all of them out? Why? Because it shouldn't be like that. And there's some things we're doing with our temple we shouldn't be doing. Maybe just not in physically, but maybe we're doing with it sexually. Right? Maybe we're doing with it sexually. Right? We need to honor our temples. We need to honor our bodies. The Lord gave us these bodies. Let's take care of them. Number five, honor God with your friendships. Honor God with your relationships. Your relationships are key this year. Have some good relationships, right? Don't spend time in resentment. Don't spend time in just holding a grudge against people, right? Give people the benefit of doubt. Be full of grace and truth. Learn to let things go. How about this? Share with other people what you're struggling with. If you have a problem with them, don't just not tell them and then ignore them. Tell them. Right? Right? Maybe these are some of the things that we can do this year as we walk through a year that I believe the Lord can truly bless. Paul says, do this because God has redeemed you. Christ has given you the forgiveness of sin. Christ has transferred you from the domain of darkness. He has delivered you from the domain of darkness and transferred you into the kingdom of his beloved son, right? Why do we do these things? Because Christ has given us everything in himself. And our motivation drives it all. Our reason drives the results. And the reason is because Christ is just so good. Christ is just so good. I want to honor my God in my marriage because Christ is just been faithful. I want to honor God. I love these very well-behaved children because Christ has just been faithful. He's redeemed me. He's given me new life in him. What was that? What if that was our motivation for this year? Let's pray. Dear Father, great is your name, and you are greatly to be praised. Lord, I worship you and I honor you, and I want that to not just be with just my words. I want that to be with my heart. I want to honor you with my heart. I know my life is drastically different when I'm walking with you. I know my life is drastically different, productive, joyful, all of the above, thankful. Everything Paul says, bearing fruit. When I am being filled with your will, with you desire, Would you help me, God? I can't do this on my own. This is not a year where I'm asking for more of me, but this is a year where I'm asking for more of you. Have more of you, more of your will, more of your wisdom, so that I can live more to please you, to please you even more. Bless me, I pray. Help me, O Lord. It's in your Son's perfect name as we pray. Amen.